Well, welcome everybody. Man, I'm so thankful that you're worshiping with us today. I want to just say what Austin just said to you. Listen, I'm so thankful for the many of you who already serve as a part of our faith family. But can I just say to all of us, listen, if you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of the Lord that lives inside of you and a gifting to serve the body. And can I just say that's part of your purpose? It's part of you being a part of bringing the kingdom of God right here on the earth. And so we want to help you get connected in serving this faith family any way we possibly can. So that's kind of my little plug. We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks when we talk about preparing for the day of the Lord whenever he returns. But for today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 24. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 24. We're in the third week of the series called The End of Days, right? And so today we're going to talk about the return of Jesus and what that's going to be like. There have been some pretty famous returns. If you think about famous returns in your mindset, what do you think of? Maybe you think of Douglas MacArthur, who in 1942 had lost a battle in the Philippines and was, you know, made to leave, but he said over the radio to the people of the Philippines, "I'm coming back." And he did, and in 1944 led to a great victory. Or maybe you think about in 1984 sitting in a movie theater watching Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, say to the police station, "I'll be back." Any of y'all remember that one, right? Our hearts are pounding as he made that promise and then he delivered. Maybe you go back to July the 11th, 1985, after 79 days of sheer stupidity, Coke decided to bring back the original Coke. None of this new Coke stuff. What a waste, right? That was a great and a welcomed return. Michael Jordan said, "I'm back," after a hiatus of playing Major League Baseball. In 2001, the WWF welcomed back the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo! Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, man, thank God for the return of Ric Flair. Or how did we ever make it for those 7 years that we didn't have the Spice Girls, right? From 2000 to 2007, no Spice Girls. I don't know how we made it, but somehow we managed to do it. Famous returns. Well, on Easter, we talked about how Jesus had crazy faith to call his shot. Remember 9 months in advance, right out of Matthew 16? In case you don't remember, I'll remind you. Matthew 16, 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Now, you can go back and listen to the whole message if you need to, but 9 months before it ever happened, Jesus said, "I'm calling my shot," and then he did it, right? Now, after he calls that shot and fulfills it, he called another shot. A few verses later, Matthew 16, 27, he says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds." Jesus said, "I'm not only going to die, be buried, be resurrected, I'm going to ascend to heaven one day and then I'm coming back." Now that's what was on the disciples' mind in Matthew 24 when they're having this conversation with Jesus about the end of time. Jesus had just exited the temple. The disciples looked at it. They're a bunch of country boys. They look at it and they go, "Oh my gosh, Jesus, this thing's amazing, isn't it?" And Jesus says, "I'll tell you what, this whole thing's going to be torn down. This whole thing's going to be rubble one day." They walk across the Kidron Valley to the garden of what we would call the Mount of Olives, right? The Garden of Gethsemane. They're sitting there looking back at the temple and the disciples ask this question, Matthew 24, verse 3. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." What we've said is they wanted to know three things. When will these things happen? The destruction of the temple, right? What is your sign of your coming and when is the end? Now, in week one of this end of day series, we talked about the signs of the end and really the seven realities of the end. Y'all remember that? It's going to get harder and harder to live our life of faith because of increasing pressure and persecution, lawlessness, people falling away from love and Jesus, and a lot of division and hatred. That's a part of the reality. Then in week two, we said that there's this idea of these things was the great tribulation that was following the destruction of the temple. And we talked about what he meant by Daniel and understanding. And so we talked about that. You can go back and listen to that message. But these things, I think, are talking about the hardships of the end days and the great tribulation that would follow. Now, today we're going to talk about their third question, which is, what is the sign of your coming? We're going to talk about the promise that Jesus made to come again. Now, the idea of Jesus' coming, there is no phrase second coming in the Bible. It's captured actually in a Greek word, parousia, which is a transliteration of the Greek word. It's the second coming. It's a real thing. Type parousia into your Google Doc and it'll automatically capitalize it. That's a real thing, right? The parousia, the coming. This idea of coming was often associated with a king who was coming to his people in authority and in power. The king is coming. We better get ready. The Latin equivalent of parousia is the word adventus, where we get our word advent. Y'all ever heard of advent? Come on, we celebrate advent at Christmas time. What is Christmas? It's the celebration of Emmanuel, God coming to us visibly and in flesh, right? So here's the idea. The parousia is the second adventus. It's the second time where we're going to welcome Jesus back visibly and physically on this planet. That's what we believe as Christ followers, that the return of Christ is visible and physical. We will see it and not be able to miss it. So, and anticipating that was the early church, that they would often greet each other or encourage each other with this Greek word, Maranatha, come Lord. Come, Lord. The Lord's coming. Maranatha, come, Lord. He's coming. Now, here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at today from Matthew 24, the order, the certainty, the mystery, and the anticipation of his return. That's kind of going to be the outline, right? The order of it, the certainty of it, the mystery of it, and the anticipation of it. But here's what I want. It's what I'm praying happens, okay? So can we just chill for a second? All right, let's talk. I want you to be ready. Okay, so think less. Oh, I'm going to take notes so I can, you know, tell everybody what's going to happen. Think less, I want knowledge. Think more, I want my heart ready. I want my life ready for what's going to happen. Think, I want my faith to be strong because you're going to need it. You're going to need a strong faith, a belief in Jesus that won't be shaken despite the pressures and the persecution and the tribulation and all those hard things. Even if you don't ever experience that, you want to have a strong faith, a bold, confident faith where you're not ashamed to say to everybody at your school, at your workplace, in your deer camp, whatever it is, dude, I'm just telling you, this is where I stand. I'm not hating on you, but for me and my house, we're serving Jesus. Confident faith, y'all with it? And a hope. A hope that no matter how hard life is, no matter how much you're struggling, no matter how many the worries and the stresses on your life, you can lift your eyes past this life to the coming of Christ and say, that day is going to be a great day. And so that you have hope even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Y'all with me? So we're going to get prepared, have faith, and build hope. Now that said, let's look at what the scripture teaches about the return of Christ. And so we're going to talk about six different kind of ingredients that make up the order of his return. And I want you to think less individual things. Well, this will happen and then that'll happen and then that'll happen. Think less that. Think more of a symphony where all the instruments are going to be each individually playing, but they're all going to come together to make music. Come on, ladies, think ingredients to a casserole or a cake that's going to welcome the second coming of Jesus. All this is going to go into making a beautiful, beautiful thing called his arrival. Y'all with me? So what is the order of his return? Matthew 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, which means that there is going to be tribulation in any day, and in our day too, and especially at the end of time, but after the tribulation of those days, please watch this for a second. The enemy and people are rejecting Jesus, and it could be really hellacious to live on this earth in the midst of that kind of opposition. But after the tribulation of those days, it's as if Jesus is going to say, okay, my turn. You've been messing with my bride long enough. Now it's my turn. Y'all with me? So what are the ingredients that Jesus said, these things that are going to go into his return? There are six of them. Here's the first one. The constellations are going to be shaken. His return is going to be preceded by disruption of the sun and the moon and the stars, the things that we think are most fixed, most set and settled. There's no way we could mess that up. They're going to start falling apart. And that disruption of the heavens and among the stars, the moon and the sun was foretold in the Old Testament. That's why that was in all caps. It's predicted a lot of places, but I just want to read one for you. And by the Spirit of the Lord, I pray it would awaken you a bit. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6 says, "Wail, weep, mourn, cry, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands are going to fall limp. Nobody will be able to stand. Every man's heart's going to melt. They will be terrified. Pain and anguish will take hold of them. They will ride like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation. He will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal men scarcer than pure gold, and mankind the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger." Now, that may make some of you uncomfortable. I apologize, but that ain't really for me to do. It's what he says, okay? All of us want justice. It's coming. All of us want bad people to be punished. It's coming, all right? So don't get mad at God. Oh my gosh, God seems kind of mad and angry. What's up with that? He loves his bride so much, he's coming to defend her. And so we need to get on board with that. Now, everything that Isaiah prophesied there is really captured also in Revelation chapter 6 with the breaking of the sixth seal, where all hell breaks loose in the constellations, okay? So it parallels that. So here's what I want you to understand, that whenever these things begin to unfold for unbelievers, it is gonna be a time of terror. Some of you guys, y'all have heard people say, maybe you've even said it, "Well, I wanna go to hell with all my friends, that's where the party's gonna be." Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. It'll be a day of terror, and you won't be able to hide from it, okay? But for believers, it's a day of anticipation and celebration, man. It's a day for us where the wedding is about to be on, and it's gonna be a party literally forever. William Hendrickson, in his commentary on this particular passage, talking about how, man, the heavens are gonna be shaken, and man, things are gonna burn up. He kind of helps you to understand, hey, this is what's happening. This is the progression that God's taking you through. There's gonna be what he calls conflagration. I don't even know what that means, but the idea is that it's burning up, that there's gonna be a fire that destroys. There is global warming, but not like we think. There'll be an altogether different kind of global warming. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." It's gonna be a torching of this present heaven and earth. There's gonna be a rejuvenation. 2 Peter 2:3:13, a couple of verses later says, "But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Revelation 21:1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea." Don't get the image that, well, man, Jesus is gonna destroy everything. No, he's gonna destroy everything that he might make it new. Guys, y'all ever had your deer woods burned? A control burn by a forester? Y'all know why they do that? So that lush green growth will come, and the deer and the turkeys and all the animals will be better fed and supplied. Come on, you ever burned your yard because you wanted to have yard of the month? Why? So that the bad grass could be killed and the good grass might come forth. Y'all feel that? That's the idea. There's going to be a realization at that time. Right now, all of creation is under the curse. Go read Genesis 3. Wasn't the earth's fault. Wasn't the ground's fault, but the earth is under a curse. It cannot fully realize all that God intended for it. It'll bud, but it can't bring forth the fullness of its fruit. But that's gonna end, Romans 8 says. One day, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the beauty of God's creation, you can't even fathom it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived all that God has. I don't know about you, but it kind of fires me up a little bit to think about that, the beauty of it. And then there's going to be a harmonization where all the things that were at war and at odds are going to be brought beautifully together in peace and harmony. Check out this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Come on, in that day, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be able to jump on a lion's back and hold on to its mane and take a ride. Ain't that going to be cool? You're going to be able to play with snakes. Not me. You might be able to. I probably won't play with snakes even then. Right? But this idea of harmonization, do you have a place for that in your view of eternity? A new heaven and a new earth. Beginning with the shaking of the present heaven and earth, which will give way to the second part, which is the sign of the Son of Man in the sky. Right? This is the order of things. Heavens are going to start to be shaken, then the sign of the Son of Man is going to be in the sky. I don't know what that is. I don't know if anybody knows what that sign is. The Emperor Constantine thought he saw a cross in the sky, and that led to his conversion. Y'all ever laid on your back in the grass and look up at the sky and say, oh my gosh, there's a dragon. Y'all ever do that? Oh, there's a stop sign. Y'all ever do stuff like that? You're sent. Maybe that's what it will be. I don't know. One guy I read said he thinks it'll be like a banner for an army in war. The Romans used to have these banners that would identify their group, right? Their regiment, or their so that whenever they got to fight, they could always find their banner and gather up with their people. For me, whenever I think sign in the sky, the only thing I can think of is being on the beach in college and seeing an airplane pulling this sign by that said Cassius, 2 for 1 or something like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I just can't get that picture out of my mind, some advertisement at the beach. I don't know what the sign is going to be. I think it very well could be just the glory of the Lord that precedes the coming of Jesus. He's going to shine so brightly. The Bible says he will outshine the sun. Right now, half the globe is dark. But in that day, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from east to west, Jesus is going to come and radiate and illuminate everything, and you can't miss it. The tribes of the earth are going to mourn, verse 30 says. That's a part of this mixture too. The tribes of the earth are going to mourn, which sounds kind of weird to me. I thought everybody would be happy, but not so. Some are going to beat their breasts. They're going to wail in grief. Why? Because they have chosen poorly. And now they'll know. What once was their glory, I'm the man, now be their shame. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Jesus says, you ain't gonna stop that. People are going to mourn because they're going to be conscious of their own brokenness and lost conviction and condition, and aware that they have rejected their only opportunity of hope. They're frightened by the display of the majesty of Christ in all of his glory. If you read the book of Revelation, I encourage you to do that. At the opening of the sixth seal, John envisioned great terror flooding not the children of God, but the people of the earth. Revelation 6:16 says, they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Can I just say something to you if you're not a follower of Jesus? God loves you like crazy. So much that he sent Jesus, his son, to die on a cross for you, to pay for your sins, to make a way for you to have a relationship with him. And there's an open door right now for you to trust God and turn from yourself and your sin and step into a light that he has offered you forever and ever and ever. But if you say no to that, there comes a day when God says to you, your will be done. And it is not a good day. If you sense the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, please, 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 by God's grace, say yes. It'd be a lot of mourning, but you're going to see the coming of the Lord on the clouds. That's what he says. They will see the coming of Jesus on the clouds. The clouds, because in the Old Testament, that was always what was present with an epiphany. When God showed up, it was typically with clouds, signifying his presence. Jesus is God with us, and he's coming on the clouds, signifying the presence of God. And everybody will see it. The return of Jesus will be visible, not a secret. Jesus in the spiritual realm will no longer be accessed by faith. We will see him face to face, no longer hidden. Revelation means the apocalypse. It's the unveiling, the removing of the covering so that everybody can see it plainly. He's coming with power and great glory. That word power means dynamite. That's our word. It's dynamite, strength, inherent power, the ability to make it happen. Jesus appeared the first time as a baby. He came for the purpose of being a lamb to be sacrificed to purchase our forgiveness and give us life. When he comes next time, he's not coming as a baby, he's coming as a king. He's not coming as a lamb, he's coming as a lion. Johnny Carson had Billy Graham on his show years ago when late night TV was actually good. And Johnny Carson says to Billy Graham, the great evangelist, you know, Brother Graham, I believe if Jesus showed up again, I think we would do him. I think we'd do him in again. And Billy Graham leaned over onto Johnny Carson's desk and he said, Johnny, he is coming again. The first time he came as a lamb to lay down his life. But when he comes again, he's coming as a lion. And we won't do him in. Can I just say to you, he is coming and we're going to see it. We're going to see it, and he's coming in power. He's coming in glory. It means we'll see. We'll have a right assessment, judgment, and opinion of him. A lot of people got an opinion about Jesus right now. He's a good man, teacher, figment of your imagination. But in that day, every eye will see, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus is real, and Jesus is the man, and we see the reality, his brightness, his magnificence, his splendor, his excellence, and his grace. And the angels will be sent forth with a great trumpet. The angels will go forth, trumpet be blowing. What song do y'all think the trumpets are going to be playing when Jesus comes and sends the angels? I don't know. Some of y'all may be my boyfriend's back and you're going to be in trouble. Y'all remember that song? Uh-huh. He calls us his bride, so my boyfriend's back. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's going to be Another One Bites the Dust. I don't know. We Are the Champions. Who Let the Dogs Out? I don't know what song it's going to be. But the trumpets are going to blast. Numbers in the Bible, the book of Numbers chapter 10 says that they would blow the shofar, the silver trumpets, they would blow the trumpet to announce three things. To gather God's people, to say it's time to go to war, and to inaugurate, to initiate a great celebration and feast. Now, when the trumpet blows at the end of time, it's going to be all three. Collecting God's people, time to go to war, time to get the party on. There is going to be war waged. Read the book of Revelation. You will see that God is coming to wage war against the evil one and all evil. Revelation 8 says that their seventh seal is the seal of trumpets. And they're going to announce bad news for the evil one and all who refuse to follow Jesus in faith. Those trumpets lead to seven bowls of wrath and war from God on all evil. The end of time is not a party for those who are not in Christ. It is a time of judgment. But for those of us in Christ, come on, church, this is how we encourage each other. It will be the start of a great celebration. For the Lamb has come back for his bride. That's what Revelation 19 through 22 are all about. The end of time is a great celebration for us forever and ever and ever. The last thing in this kind of mixture is they're going to gather, the angels will, they will gather together his elect believers, those who are in Christ. He will gather them together from the four winds. Now again, this is, Jesus says, after the tribulation, he gathers his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul wrote it this way. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Then listen, for us, we have hope. Death is not an end for us. It's a transition. And when Christ comes, what's going to happen when the angels are showing up and the trumpet blasts? Everybody who's in the graveyard is going to come up. Every believer is going to come up with a brand new resurrection body. It's going to be immortal, different from the one that was laid in the ground. Those of us who are alive, 1 Corinthians 15 says, in a moment we're going to be metamorphosized. Our bodies are going to be transformed also into imperishable, immortal spiritual bodies forever and ever and ever for the new heaven and the new earth. And we're going to be caught up together, those who had died before us, those who are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with the Lord forever and ever and ever and comfort each other. Who are you looking forward to seeing? I'm going to come on, it's going to be a family reunion. Be better than your high school reunion. It's going to be better than your college reunion. It's going to be better than homecoming, right? Who are you looking forward to seeing? A baby, a relative, a friend, a Bible character. Can't wait to talk to Ruth, man. I can't wait to talk to Elijah or Elisha. Who is it? Who is it that you're, at some point, man, I'm gonna go find that dude. I gotta talk to them. It's going to be a reunion. You know, the sweetest part about it is you're gonna be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. The angels are gonna gather us together. That word, gather us together, that same word is actually used in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 in a curious way. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, hey, don't forsake the assembling, the gathering together of yourselves for worship, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? That day. Part of the reason we gather together on Sunday to worship is so that we can encourage each other to be prepared, to have faith, to hold on to hope. Don't get out of the habit of being a part of the fellowship of God. You know what occurred to me as I was thinking about this is that maybe every Sunday is actually a dress rehearsal for that day. When the people of God all collect up together, come on, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. The people of God collect up together. It's a dress rehearsal for that day. Now, he said, don't get in the habit of not coming to church. Can I just say, some of y'all, listen, maybe you're listening to podcasts, maybe you're watching on our worshiping with us online campus. If you are out of the habit of gathering with the body of Christ, you need to get your holy booty on back to church. Come on, anybody? Why? So that you can be encouraged to be prepared, strong in faith, holding on to hope. Now, some of y'all, listen, you're watching, you're listening, your health prohibits you from coming. Please stay home without shame. You're a part of the body of Christ. Let us love on and minister to you, and if you need us, let us know, right? If there's things that we can do, that's why we need you to serve, so we can take care of that, but come on. The angels are going to gather us together one day, and I just wonder if church on Sunday isn't a little bit of a dress rehearsal, a dry run of prep of what it looks like for the body of Christ to come together. Those are kind of the ingredients of the order of his coming. Right? Here's the second thing, is there's a certainty of his return. Verse 32 in Matthew 24 says this, now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know summer's near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near. He's right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Can you read the signs? Can you read the signs? Come on, students, can y'all read the signs? Your teacher just left the room. Clop, 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 clop. Heels went all the way down the hall. Heard a door open and shut. In a minute, you hear that door open and shut, clop, 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 clop. What does that mean? Oh, he or she's coming back, right? Come on, y'all been to Walmart? And all of a sudden, ain't no toilet paper, ain't no bottled water, ain't no canned goods, ain't no wipes. What does that mean? Hurricane, tornado, pandemic. One of them three things about to happen, right? Come on, fellas, y'all ever had to read the signs? She ain't talking to you. She's cold. She got into bed wearing all flannel. You know what that means? You done did or said something stupid sometime during the day, and I hope you figured out, because she ain't going to tell you what it is. You got to figure that stuff out, right? Y'all know what I'm saying? You read the signs. Jesus is saying, look, y'all know when a tree starts budding out and putting on leaves and tender growth, summer is on the way. Read the room. Read the room right now of this world. Are you aware of what's going on? That's what he's pleading with us to do. Pay attention to the realities of the end of times. They're among us. The pressures, the persecution that are here, they're real right now. And just like in the first century, they saw these things happen, the destruction of the temple. We got to be aware that in our day, these things are happening again. So Jesus said, when you start reading the world and going, oh man, it's happening. No, he's right at the door about to open up and come. Count on it, count on it. Heaven and earth gonna pass away, but not one small letter or stroke from God's word will ever pass away. You can count on every promise of God. Solomon, the wisest man ever at the dedication of the temple, said this in 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. We often say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, ma'am. God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. But let's let our faith grow in the word of God, because Jesus is a promise keeper. He's a shot caller. He's the original baller. Listen, he can do it all. Not one of his promises has ever failed. And so I want to ask you, how confident are you that Jesus is going to come back visibly and physically one day? My calculus teacher, Miss Nunley, used to let us give our confidence level on our homework. How confident are you in your homework today? Which was did you do it, and do you think you did it right? So we would get to evaluate ourselves. Yeah, I think I'm a 10, Miss Nunley, which means you better have it right. Y'all with it? What's your confidence level? What's your confidence level that Jesus is coming back? You better write it down. He's a promise keeper. And yet at the same time, there's some mystery around his return. Verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, not even Jesus himself, the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, they didn't understand it until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then there will be two men in the field. One's going to be taken, one's going to be left. Two women are going to be grinding at the mill. One's going to be taken, and the other one's going to be left. Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour, not the angels, not even Jesus himself. So I would say to you, if the day and the hour belong only to God, then any attempt to try to figure that out when he's going to return is going to prove for you, it's going to prove futile, if not sinful. Okay? You're not smarter than God. In 1988, I was in college, and a book came out, 88 Reasons Why Christ is Returning in 88. Anybody remember that book? It caused widespread panic among some people that I know. Turns out this NASA engineer, real smart guy, Bible student, he figured out Jesus is going to come back between September 11 and September 13. Didn't work out. But he did write two books and had a speaking tour. And I'm not minimizing that. Look, he was probably well-intentioned, but can I just say, if he thought he had it figured out, God probably just moved the date just to tick him off, right? Y'all with me? Only God knows. There have been, through the years, different times when people were so certain, they had predicted it down to the minute, this is it, leave their stuff, leave their jobs, leave their house, sell everything, go out in the wilderness. Jesus was a no-show. In the Great Fire of London, maybe y'all have heard about that, the Great Fire of London, it was September, I think, the 2nd, 1666, 1666. Come on, there were Christians, well-intentioned, who go, 666, London is on fire, that's the number of the devil, this is the end of the earth. Now, 10 people did die in that fire that lasted 3 days, and that's a horrible tragedy, but it wasn't the end. In 1910, they thought Halley's Comet was going to hit the earth, it was going to be the end, not so much, right? There have been people who thought that Jesus was coming 2012. The Mayan calendar ran out and we all thought it was over because the Mayans had it figured out. No, we're still here. There's this one guy named Harold Camping. He's a Christian numerologist. He's predicted the return of Christ 12 times so far. I'm thinking my man can't count. Somehow his numerology is off. Nobody knows the day or the hour. What about the month or the year? All of it. Here's what I'm trying to say. Jesus was dependent upon the Father. I'll let God worry about that. And I think you should too. I don't think you need to be worrying about being on the planning committee for the return of Jesus. I think you need to be on the welcoming team. You be ready when he comes. It's going to be like the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? You read that story lately? The days of Noah, people are wicked, they're bad. By the way, the days of Noah, it had never rained. And yet, somehow this crazy kook named Noah thinks that he's building a boat in the middle of the desert, preparing for a flood that everybody's like, you're crazy. And yet he was a preacher of righteousness. Nobody believed him. They're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and doing business. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But they just thought life was going to go on forever like that until it didn't. Noah entered the ark, and that ark was sealed up. That ark is a picture, a foreshadowing of Jesus. Jesus is your only hope of salvation from the cataclysmic flood of judgment that is coming. The earth has never seen anything like what's going to come. And the flood took Noah and his family and the animals. It took them up. They rose up above the judgment, and everything underneath was laid waste. When Jesus returns, I believe that people will be wrapped up in this material and materialistic world. They'll be living like this world is all there is and all that's worth living for until it's not. One's going to be taken and one's going to be left. That idea of one taken is the picture of one being taken up, received into companionship, into relationship, joined to yourself, an associate. You're with me now. Just as Noah was taken up, so believers, you and I, will be taken up, and those left behind will face judgment. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, but it's coming. And that leads to the anticipation of his return. Therefore, be on the alert, verse 42 said, for you don't know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. If you knew a thief was coming at 2 a.m., what would you do to your house? What would you do? 2 a.m., thief's going to be here. What would you do? All right, get ready. 2 o'clock, I'm going to be on point. But what if you knew the thief was coming tonight sometime, but you don't know when? Oh, you'd try to stay awake. You'd be like that dude in the video, man. You'd be wanting some sugar and some caffeine, right? Trying to stay on point. I'm trying to stay awake. I don't want to go to sleep. I don't want to doze off, right? What if the thief was just coming sometime? Y'all with me? We don't know when Jesus is coming, but we know that he's coming, and you got to do everything you can, he says, to be alert. Stay awake. Be on point. Be ready. That's why I think it's so important for you to have a practice of being in the Word of God routinely through the week, not just relying on me to preach to you whenever you show up. Or podcasts. You need intake. You need a group of people around you, Christian friends that can encourage you. You need to have at least Christians, one playlist on your Spotify where you remind yourself, people get ready, Jesus is coming. I'm alert and I'm ready. I'm watchful. I'm prepared. That's the idea. I'm prepared. Ladies, if you knew that you were having overnight company come tomorrow, what would you do today? Oh, I know what some of y'all would do. You would start making your list right now. We're done. You're already going to start making your list. It don't matter what else I say. You're already making your list. You got to go to the grocery store. You got to get the food. You got to get the beds washed. Sheets washed. We got to make sure everything's cleaned up. We got to make sure everything is just perfect. Why? Because you got company coming. Ladies, am I telling the truth? Any ladies out there, am I telling the truth? Okay, yes, thank y'all. Just making sure y'all awake and alive out there, right? Yes, that's the way it is at my house. You know, we act like we live that way all the time, and we don't, right? But that's we're gonna get ready, okay? Because company's coming. You getting ready? The idea, Paul uses this word to talk about getting your gift ready in 1 Corinthians. He says, man, I'm coming now, and when I get there, I want y'all to already have the gift ready. I don't want to get there, and then y'all got to get the gift together. I don't want to get there, and then y'all got to go get something and then start taking up the collection. Get it done now so that when I get there, we can just celebrate. You ever not been ready when it was time to give the gift? We were at my house Friday night, I think it was. My daughter Mackenzie and her fiance Franklin have been dating now for 4 years, and they had their little celebration a couple of weeks ago, but she didn't give him his gift then, and so he was going to get it Friday night. Well, he says, hey, I think I'm ready for my gift now. And she goes, yep. She got up and she ran in her room. And then I saw her run down the hall. A few minutes later, I saw her run back up the hall. About 10 minutes later, she still wasn't back. I looked at Frank and I said, Frank, I think she had to go to Sonic and get you a gift card, man. I don't know what this gift was. Like probably 10, 15 minutes later, she shows up with 4 or 5 bags of these little things, and she is a supreme gift giver. Some of y'all think you're going to get ready for Jesus like that. He's going to show up and you go, oh, snap, yeah. It ain't going to work that way. When he comes, it's on. And it's over. Y'all with me? He's coming. I don't know when, but I do know that. So get ready. Get ready now. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:1, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. If you didn't know now, you do now. If you didn't know that, you know it now. While they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, Pine Lake, you, Faith family, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons and daughters of light, sons and daughters of day. We are not of night nor of darkness, so let us not sleep as the others do, but let us be alert and sober. Those who sleep do their sleeping at night. Those who drunk get drunk at night. But since you are of the day, be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Come on, are you ready? Are you ready? Maybe today you need to say, you know what, I need to step out of the darkness and I need to quit acting like I'm in the darkness and quit sleeping and carrying on and getting drunk and fooling around. That's done. I won't be ready. I'm going to get ready so I ain't got, I'm going to stay ready so I ain't got to get ready. That's what he's calling you to do. So what do we say we were going to do today? We said we wanted to prepare and build faith and have hope. Having heard what Jesus promised, could I invite you to pray around those three things right now just for a moment as we're wrapping up? Come on, he's coming. There have been some famous returns in the past, all pale compared to this one. He's coming. So could I invite you just to pray this way? Jesus, I want my heart prepared. If you've never stepped out of darkness and into light, if you've never repented of your own selfish, self-centered, sin-filled way of living and said, God, I am a mess and I am broken beyond repair. Forgive me, cleanse me, change me, make me spiritually alive. If you've never done that, would you do it now? I plead with you. I plead with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say yes by faith to his grace right now. Prepare now. Today is the day of salvation. And in just a moment, you can text 57555. Just text the word Jesus to our number. Or if you're in person with us, you can come to the front. There'll be someone who can talk with you about accepting him and being prepared and ready. Others of us may need to say, you know what? I just need to prepare my heart to say, God, I'm all in. God, I want to walk in faith and truth. Do you need to ask God to grow your faith, your faithfulness? You're in a struggle or a battle right now. Something's pressing you to turn away from the Lord. Would you just ask God to give you faith? A place in your life out of step with what His Word says, would you bring it into step right now by faith through His grace? Do you know somebody who is outside of faith, that if Jesus were to come right now, it would not be good for them? Would you pray for them right now by name? And would you ask the Lord to give you a bold, confident faith to speak the love and the truth of Jesus to them any chance you could, not in judgment, but in grace? Would you ask the Lord to give you hope, a confident expectation for your future? You may be in the middle of a struggle or a battle. Worry and fear, anxiety may be gripping you. Would you pray, Jesus, help me to get my eyes lifted to your coming, to your soon and certain return, and have hope? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you would abound by hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, even right now. Would you just ask the Lord to fill you with hope? That you would be ready to give an account of the hope that's in you no matter what. In just a second, I'm going to close this time of prayer. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing one last song that just says, God, I want you to be magnified through my life, no matter what. Now, as we're singing that song, here's the deal. You're going to have an opportunity to either text in the word pray to our number and somebody will pray with you, or if you're worshiping with us in person right now, listen, you can walk to the front. I believe that God hears us when we pray. He moves when we pray. People's hearts are changed when we pray. Healing comes when we pray. Breakthrough comes when we pray. You have the opportunity when we stand up and sing to come and just take one of these folks by the hand and say, I need you to pray with me. They're going to take you to a spot where we can just pray with you very quickly. But believe that the power of Jesus, who's one day coming, is already here. Would you do that? Maybe you could turn the front of this place into just an altar where you can pray alone by yourself, nobody bother you, but would you prepare your heart for his coming? Lord Jesus, I love you, I praise you, I bless you, and God, we are ready. God, fill our hearts with faith today, fill us with hope, and Jesus, would you let us just lift praise to you in anticipation of this day? You are so good. God, you are so faithful. You have never let us down. You have never broken a promise. And so, God, I pray, would you receive our worship now? And God, as we worship you, would you fortify our faith? Release your power for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.